Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Inside the mind and intentions of a notorious figure in U.S. history. That is real viewers Sunday and Monday night on the Lost Unabomber tapes. The executive producer of this 4-hour special, Elliot Hoppart and Elizabeth Trojan, join me next. Also ahead, news note quickies, our classic trivia question, and hail and farewell, Jim Lehrer. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, telecasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on iHeart Radio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get $50 off, I should say, your trial run and your first year if you go for it, and you get 3 free audiobooks for that trial when you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to be with you on this Friday afternoon for the program all about television. 50 degrees at the top of the hour. High temperature for this week here in New York. Good guests coming your way in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, dial in, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Shy about the phone? No problem. Use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and already have a bunch of people in the room, so join in. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk or Speaker screen, follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. And one more thing before we get to news notes. On the second half of the program, as I mentioned, we will have a special tribute to Jim Lehrer, and who passed away yesterday at the age of 85. And if you'd like to take part with your phone calls, your chat room thoughts, especially if you knew Jim or you enjoyed the McNeil Lehrer Report, the McNeil News Hour, et cetera, please jump in. We would love to hear from you. And we will hear from our guests from the Lost Unabomber tapes from Toronto, Canada, after these news notes. Production of Disney Plus's Obi-Wan Kenobi series, taken from Star Wars, has gone on hiatus until further notice. Ewan McGregor plays Kenobi. Joanna Mello, CBS's chief executive, appears to be heading out the door this spring. Entertainment Press reports this afternoon suggests former NBC Universal chair executive George Cheeks may come in for that accountability. BET is set to carry this year's Super Bowl gospel celebration from Miami next Saturday, February 1st. And Teen World will debut its latest made-for-movie, Stepping Back to Love, February 8th. Monique Coleman, you may remember her from High School Musical films, and Darren Henson, co-star. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Toronto, Canada, the executive producers of Reels Channel's special presentation is coming Sunday and Monday night, The Lost Unabomber Tapes, Elliot Hoppart and Elizabeth Trojan. Elliot and Elizabeth, thanks for coming on.
Hi, thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure. And Elizabeth, we'll start with you. How did both of you get involved in putting this special together?
Well, we have a production company, Yap Films, and we develop projects all the time. So we're always trying to, you know, think of things that fascinate and interest us. And as a kid, I was always really, you know, terrified of the Unabomber. My parents were academics, and they worked in technology. And the anniversary of Ted Kaczynski's incarceration was coming up, and Elliot and I were just talking about it. And we thought it would make a great doc. You know, there was the drama Manhunt that came out right as we were developing it. And so we thought, you know, it was a good time to dive into the subject.
Mm-hmm. And Elliot, how did you find these tapes? I understand that these are tapes that were conducted with Ted Kaczynski only a few months after he started serving his life in prison.
Yes. So the context of the tapes is that when Kaczynski was incarcerated, there were journalists from all over the world who were trying to get interviews with him, and he turned them all down. But he reached out to a young editor of an environmental magazine. Her name is Teresa Kintz. Just out of the blue, she got a letter from Ted Kaczynski that said, I follow your writing. I'm a fan of yours. Would you come and see me at, you know, and I'd like to talk to you. So Teresa went to the, he was incarcerated, as he still is, in the Florence, Colorado Supermax, America's most secure prison. And she went there with her tape recorder, and the prison was very good about facilitating the interview. And over the next 4 days, she had this conversation with Ted Kaczynski that she was recording audio on. And then after she recorded it, for various reasons, she never released all those tapes. There was a summary of a very short part of the interview that appeared, I think, in the magazine, Earth First. But beyond that, she put it away. And so we heard about it when we were in development, and through a series of fortuitous coincidences, we were put in touch with Teresa, and she graciously provided us with this extraordinary historical document, which then we realized was a way of providing this deep insight into Kaczynski's mind and his motivation, and that could really become the spine for our film.
And Elizabeth, that's not the only tapes that you picked up for this special. I understand that you're also going to hear Ted Kaczynski at age 16.
Yeah, it's super exciting. We have a tape of Ted at Harvard being subjected to some pretty questionable psychological experiments by Murray, Professor Murray, who is a really well-known psychologist. And, you know, there's always been talk and lore of these experiments that were done to Ted, but no one's ever heard it, and Harvard refuses to release them. But we lucked out and just got one. So we really, you know, it's so insightful because you get to know Ted in a way that you know, no one ever has the ability to get to know, like, such a, you know, a terrorist, a murderer, an intellectual. It's a really fascinating and deep account of him, from hearing him as a child, through his journals, then through this interview. It's really amazing access to Ted.
We have a number of people who just joined our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. Thanks for coming aboard. You have a question or comment for our guest? Put it in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. Go ahead, Elliot.
Sure. Yeah. I was going to say, the thing about these interviews or these experiments is that they were always a rumor, like they've been speculated about for a long time. But this is really the first hard evidence that they actually took place. And this was the first of almost weekly interrogations that occur over his next 3 years at Harvard, along with over a dozen other young men who were, sort of the best and the brightest undergraduates at Harvard. So it was pretty amazing to actually hear it firsthand.
Do we get any conclusion for either of you about why Kaczynski did what he did? How much of it was based on his view of the world, and how much was based on a family or family members that came off dysfunctional?
No, you know, it's really tough because he's such a complex person. His, you know, we of course got to know his brother David and his sister-in-law Linda incredibly well, and they are such amazing, intelligent, thoughtful, kind, wonderful humans. That I think really what happened to Ted is that his view of the world became very dark from what happened to him at Harvard, and I think also obviously mental health challenges. He had a lot of conflicting ideas. He was very much motivated by his beliefs of privacy, environmentalism, and radicalism. So, you know, it's definitely to me is that he was a product of a lot of different forces, but I wouldn't say from what I can tell that he had a dysfunctional family. He seemed to actually have a pretty great family. So it does add a real layer of complexity to him and how he ended up being who he is.
We are speaking with the executive producers of a new Reels Channel 4-hour special, The Lost Unabomber Tapes. It takes place Sunday and Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific Time. The executive producers, who are a company of their own up in Canada called Yap Films, are Elliot Halpern and Elizabeth Trojan, and the votes for this live this half hour on tomorrow will be televised. Tom and I will be live from New York. Delighted to have you with us this Friday afternoon of January 2020. If you have a question or comment for our guest, put the call through 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have some blockbuster episodes coming your way next week. On Monday, we will have the executive producer of CBS's new hit drama, FBI Most Wanted, Tuesday at 10 o'clock. He's also the Emmy and Peabody Award-winning executive producer who helped put Law & Order on the map for 20 years at NBC and also Law & Order Criminal Intent. Rene Brosser will be my lead guest. Yes, he's a Canadian also, by the way. And he'll be with us as our lead guest on Monday's program. And then, speaking of interrogations, CBS All Access is launching a brand new series called Interrogation next month. It's an experiment in nonlinear storytelling. It's all about crime, interrogating suspects of that crime, or possibly with that crime. But here's the deal. You can arrange the episodes any way you want. We will talk to the creators and executive producers of this program, Anders Wiedemann and John Malkovich. Anders will join us live from Sweden. It's all coming up Monday, 3:10 Eastern, noon Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Televised. And stay tuned later this afternoon. We'll tell you about our Friday episode. It's a big 2-hour blockbuster you will not want to miss. Elliot, was David Kaczynski willing to talk with you and Elizabeth about his brother?
Yes, we early on in the process we approached David and his wife Linda, and they graciously gave us the opportunity to go meet with them in person at their home, and that was really the start of really terrific relationship in terms of them really giving us insights into their experience of Ted Kaczynski and what it was like to grow up with him, and then the incredible saga around his arrest and incarceration. So we really were deeply touched by the trust that they invested in us in terms of having confidence that we would be able to tell their story properly. And frankly, they're the true heroes of the entire saga of how Kaczynski was captured, and that they have never, ever been given their proper due, the proper recognition of what they did. And so we were really... one of the best things about making this film is the opportunity to genuinely bring to the American public a true these real heroes, and so yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, of all the experts that both of you interviewed for your special, who came off most interesting or came off with a totally new perspective for us the viewer to learn about Kaczynski?
You know, I think Teresa Kintz is amazing because she knew him and interviewed him and, you know, really talked philosophy with him. So she had this really cool way of looking at him and said, you know, is he a terrorist or is he a revolutionary? You know, lots of revolutions are started by, you know, people with extreme points of view. And sometimes if you really believe in something, you need to go to dark places. And I thought that was really interesting. And then we interviewed Joel Moss, who is the FBI agent who was one of the lead investigators. And just, he was so great because he was so candid and fresh about, you know, the mistakes that the FBI did make in their attempts to find Ted. So, I mean, it's really cool. And then we got to spend a long time with the neighbors of Ted Kaczynski, the ones who lived in Montana near the little cabin, the Gearings, and it was fascinating to learn about what his life was like in the woods while at the same time the entire nation is terrorized and on this desperate search for him. And then there's this, you know, small group of people in this little town in Montana who, you know, see him as this kind of kooky recluse who they, you know, kind of have to help out to make sure that he gets enough food and doesn't freeze in his weird little cabin.
Mm-hmm. I understand you also interviewed a movie maker who you described, his name is Tim Lewis, who is described as an anarchist movie maker.
Yes.
And I'm curious for either of you, did he come to you or you go to him? And what does he have to say about all this?
Well, one of the things we really wanted to, you know, the thing about this story is there's so many different layers to it. And one layer is how Ted Kaczynski became a kind of pop culture icon, especially for the American, like the extreme environmental movement, radical environmental movement, and the anarchist movement. And so part of the story was to actually look at what his legacy was. And Tim was one of their, you know, there's a group of anarchists in Eugene, Oregon, and Tim had been documenting their what they were doing at the time, and this is in the 90s, and could speak very knowledgeably about how Kaczynski influenced him. In fact, they actually did a fundraiser for Kaczynski when he was in prison. So it's a kind of interesting twist on the story, just in terms of him definitely not being your sort of, if you ever could say, average serial killer, if you could ever use that term. He was certainly somebody who, you know, had all of this complexity and even in terms of how he's regarded to this day.
Did either of you have a chance to interview anyone who has seen Kaczynski in prison or has had correspondence with him to give us a sense of where he's at today? He turned 78 this spring.
Yeah, well, we were corresponding with Ted, so it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, we you know, decided to write to him and see if you know what he was doing now, like what his state of mind was, and we ended up exchanging a number of letters after that initial approach. And we also in the film interview the former warden of the Supermax, who got to know him very well. And so we have a pretty good sense of what his life is like today. He, you know, this is a prison where a lot of the inmates really in isolation 23 hours a day, limited, no real access to the outside, 1 hour a day and an exercise area by themselves. It is a place where people really go mad. I mean, literally. And he does not strike us that way in any way, shape, or form. In terms of his ability to communicate and to write and to think and
even tell jokes.
And tell jokes or and to continue to publish, which is one of the extraordinary things. And I think it's, you know, our speculation is he had such strong habits of mind from years of living in the backwoods in a small cabin that in a way he was very mentally suited to being, he's very disciplined about writing every day. He has a very ordered existence in which he's managed to maintain, maintain his equilibrium in a way that is very extraordinary given how long he's been in isolation.
The Lost Unabomber tapes is the 4-hour Reels Channel special, and it begins this Sunday night, continues Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific time. We've got the two executive producers behind it, Elliot Halpern and Elizabeth Trojan, the both of us live from Toronto, Canada, this half hour. On tomorrow, will be televised. Simon Avenel with you live from New York. Have a question or a comment for them in our remaining moments with them? Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. 1 week from today, have we got a blockbuster 2-hour episode for you. First up, the former congressman, now the chairman and co-founder of Black News Channel, is a 24-hour news information service catering to African Americans and all of us that will premiere on February 10th. The one and only J.C. Watts will be my lead guest. Then, from Awkwafina is Nora from Queens, the co-creator and executive producer of Comedy Central's new hit series, premiered Wednesday night, critical acclaim, good ratings, and renewed for a second season. Teresa Hazao. Then, Vice President Richard Plumbing at INSP, formerly the Inspirational Network, Craig Miller will join us at the folks doing shows like The Cowboy Way. We'll find out what that network, which a lot of people is under the radar screen, but frankly is doing quite well and growing an audience. We'll find out what they're doing in 2020 and beyond. And finally, just confirmed today, the executive producer and writer of the new Spectrum Originals miniseries, Manhunt. Deadly Games, Manhunt was the franchise that Discovery Channel introduced a couple years ago with a series about the Unabomber, by the way. Now, the one Deadly Games deals with Richard Jewell. We will have the creator executive producer, Andrew Sarovsky. They're all in the slide. 1 week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, comes to be a blockbuster episode. Join us. Get your questions and comments ready. I promise you, it'll be quite a special episode to wrap up January on. Tell us about the structure of this 4-hour special, because you have part one is a structure in itself. Part two, Monday night, is a different structure or different subject matter.
Yeah, so it takes flavor. It's basically the first part is about his childhood and about Harvard and how he ends up getting radicalized and is bombed. And then the second part is really how the sort of ramp up in the FBI and how he gets taken down, and you learn all about what his legacy is and what his life in prison is.
Yeah, dealing and also his trial and the machinations around how he, a lot of people I think, you know, wonder how he managed to evade the death penalty, and we look at that and we look at the evidence that was put forward, and so that's how we kind of split it out.
Yeah. In our next half hour, changing the subject, we're going to celebrate the life of Jim Lehrer, the PBS journalist anchor person who passed away yesterday at the age of 85. I think one of the best journalists ever on television anywhere. And we were talking beforehand, and Elliot, you had followed both Jim and Robin McNeil, who was a Canadian, in their career. What's your thoughts about Jim and his passing?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that the McNeil-Lehrer report, it was, in a way, the most extraordinary news program on television anywhere on the planet. It provided a kind of level of insight and objectivity that was rare to find anywhere. And it was such a strong and reliable source of news and insight as a magazine program. It was amazing. We've just lost the titan of journalism.
Yeah, his abilities, you know, with the presidential debate. So that was always something that I remember as a kid watching them and really being engaged by his level-headedness and his ability to bring the importance of voting and the importance of the office to everybody. And you know, as a kid, that ability to make something as, quote, boring as a presidential debate seem important and that you should pay attention to it was really remarkable. Especially, you know, I loved his abilities with the Obama-McCain debates. I thought that he, you know, really brought a level of deep inquiry to it when other, you know, there was a whole desire to, you know, make it very controversial and headbutting, and he wasn't about that. You know, he was about getting to the truth and sparking ideas. And, you know, I think as documentary filmmakers, that always speaks to us.
Every journalist right now could learn from Jim. They could learn that he was a collaborator. He was a terrific writer. He got to the point. He always called attention to what he was writing about, not to himself. And he was always willing to do complete work with his producers, with his reporters, with Robin, with Charlene Hunter Gold, everyone who worked with him on the NewsHour, to just, you know, let's get a complete story out there. And everybody needs to get the extra angle, the extra perspective.
Absolutely.
Without calling attention to ourselves, that was his big stock in trade.
Absolutely. And devoid of bias or ideology, like it was, you know, or an attempt just to be shocking. I think that it's a real, if one reflects on that and thinks about the contemporary state of news reporting now, you certainly makes one feel nostalgic.
Yeah, and it's incredible, you know, having that he's on PBS, and so, you know, they had to really drum up the support for their program themselves. You know, they had to get their sponsors, they had to, you know, get their viewers to contribute. That's a remarkable ability to do both those things, to be both the journalist and the star, the front of the camera, and to be the producer and executive producer and raise those funds and, you know, to have such a commitment to the truth and journalism. It's really a remarkable person. And we, you know, I think we're all lucky to live in a time that he was on the air and be influenced by his, you know, his deep love of the truth and of getting at it and telling a straight, exciting story, but without a lot of, you know, bullshit. You can say that.
No. Absolutely. Yes, you can. Absolutely. He didn't take guff. He didn't take guff. He was like, let's get the facts, let's get it straight, and whatever we have to do to make that happen, we do it. And we do it together.
Exactly.
Everybody pitches in. And more about Jim in our second half hour, including my time as an intern on the McNeil Report. And something very special that really, for me, sets the path for my role as a journalist covering television. So that's coming up in our next half hour. But before we let both of you go, what's going on with Yap Films? What's your itinerary for 2020? What projects are you working on?
Oh my gosh, we're working on so many exciting films. We're doing a bunch of stuff for PBS. We are making science films, which we're really well known for and love. We're doing
three true crime films,
long feature length crime films that you know, really came out of the success that we were having telling a unique story with Unabomber. So yeah, we're super busy. We're you know, producing easily almost 20 hours right now, and yeah, so it's a good time to make high-end documentaries.
And you can catch Elliot and Elizabeth's work this Sunday night and Monday night on Reels Channel. It's the Lost Unabomber Tapes 4-hour documentary special. It starts this Sunday night, continues Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific time. Check your local for Reels Channel is available in the Aerion cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to www.reels.com. or R-E-L-Z, I should say, reelschannel.com, www.reels.com. The Lost Unit Bomber tapes, Sunday, Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific. Elliot Halpern, Elizabeth Trojan, thank you all very, very much for coming on the program. Thank you for your Jim Lehrer thoughts. All the very best with your special this Sunday and Monday, and we'd love to have you back for your future work with Yap Films. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it'd be great. Thanks a lot for having us. It's been fun.
It was our pleasure, Simon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care, both of you. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Thank you. You too.
Elliot Halpern, Elizabeth Trojan, joining us live from Toronto, Canada. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, and our tribute to Jim Lehrer. It all comes out after we pause, after the bottom of the hour, for web identification. You're listening to www.blogtalkradio and www.spreaker.com. Together, reaching more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Honeycomb and, I should say, Honeycomb Hideout. That's right, Honeycomb Hideout with Johnny Davis. He's around tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. It's Honeycomb Hideout with Johnny Davis tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time only on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. We're back to the second half of Tomorrow We Televise this Friday afternoon of January 2020. Sound out to you live from New York. Coming up in our next half hour, we have our classic trivia question of the week. Stay tuned. You could win two Brooke prizes if you got the correct answers. But first, our tribute to Jim Lehrer. And if you'd like to get in on it, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We will get to that tribute, but first some words from our fine friends at Audible.com. If you are looking for a great way to spend this year and this decade ahead, how about trying the world of audiobooks and hearing for yourself how Audio.com can transform the way you hear the world? How do you do that? Go to audibletrial.com/televised and pick out three free audiobooks to listen for a one-month trial. One of them being The Truth About Aaron by John Hernandez. Yes, that's John Hernandez, the brother of Aaron Hernandez, who, of course, was the subject of the recent Netflix documentary series about his life and about his crimes. And it's a brand-new audiobook you can get right now with that one-month trial, The Truth About Aaron by Jonathan Hernandez. Remember, audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There was over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen on any device with whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. And remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get not one, not two, but three free audiobooks of your choice, two of them from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That means original audio productions, the best of Broadway or Broadway regional theater, and one woman, one man shows. And if you act now, if you turn your trial into a one-year subscription, you save $50. That's right, $50 off your one-year subscription. So take the action now. Hear for yourself how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Go to audibletrial.com/televised. Less than 24 hours ago, a lot of us in the world of journalism and the world of television got the news that Jim Lehrer had passed away at the age of 85. He passed away peacefully. He passed away complete. He had his wife, Kate, and children with him. And he passed away with a wonderful career of being one of the great journalists in the history of American television. With his partner, Robert McNeil, he put together some of the best programming PBS ever did. The McNeil Lehrer Report, the McNeil Lehrer NewsHour, the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer, and yes, PBS NewsHour. A wonderful track record for more than 35 years. If you don't know about Jim Lehrer, you ought to. Lehrer started out as a newspaper person and a novelist. And in the late 1960s, he came to public television through KERA, the PBS station in Dallas, with a format called Newsroom. It was actually started in San Francisco, and then other PBS stations picked it up. It was a 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock program where Lehrer, surrounded by other reporters in the Dallas area, would comment on the stories of the day, give people perspective. It was a wonderfully done show, and it was always stimulating and engaging. In 1972, Lehrer came to Washington to be part of NPACT, the National Public Affairs Center for Television, as its senior correspondent. And it was there that he hooked up with Rob McNeil, a former NBC and ITV in England correspondent, who at the time was also the managing editor and the moderator of Washington Week in Review, one of the longest-running series and still around in public television history. As Robin said yesterday on PBS NewsHour, it was an instant partnership. And it was a partnership that began in a very historic way, with live Galileo coverage in 1972 of the Watergate hearings. It was extraordinary television, made more extraordinary by how Robin and Jim were in their engagement with the viewers and really providing tremendous perspective on what was going on day by day, hour by hour. In 1975, McNeil decided to start a nightly program that would be a supplement to evening newscasts, where it would cover one story in depth for a half hour through background reporting, statistics, facts, and interviews with people involved in the subject. It might be the major story of the day, or the second major story of the day, or it might be about a topic that was worth discovering in culture, in arts, in science, in health. And there started the Rob McNeil Report. At the time, Lehrer, who was based at WETA in Washington, PBS there, would be the senior correspondent, and he would be appearing on a nightly basis. But it soon was known that, yes, this was a joint venture in every sense of the word. So soon after the show began, and would syndicate other PBS stations, it became the McNeil-Lehrer Report. And it took off like wildfire. In the mid-1970s, I was a student at American University in Washington, D.C. And along with Sal Levine, who was a producer on the Sunday night talk show on the campus radio station, both of us were fortunate, very privileged, to have an internship on the McNeil-Lehrer Report. So several times a week, I had the opportunity to be at LaFont Plaza, PBS's offices, in the offices of the show, and sit in with Jim, with Charlene Hunter Gold, with the executive producer, Al Vecchione, one of the best executive producers in all of television, I might add, and a wonderful cadre of reporters and producers, all of whom were collaborating every day on what story they would do or what stories they would do in upcoming episodes. It was a wonderful experience because we all got to contribute to each other. And I got the sense there, along with Sal, of what it took to put that show together. You saw on camera Robin, Jim, their scripts, their interviews, their guests. What you didn't see was the tremendous amount of research, the tremendous amount of legwork, the tremendous amount of effort that everybody put into that program. And it showed every night with complete coverage, with terrifically well-done interviews, arranged in a wonderful order that the viewer understood without dumbing it down. And it was wonderful television, directed by Duke Strauss, the former CBS sports director. More than midway into my run as an internship, Robin and Jim came together at WETA Studios in Washington to interview the then Secretary of State, Cyrus Vance. That morning, the United States announced an arms deal, a very controversial one, to sell fighter planes to different countries in the Middle East. And I decided to, by prompting from the producers, to watch the wires. We had United Press International, Associated Press Wire Services, and beyond 24/7, to find out, is there any response to this deal? While Robin and Jim were getting together at ETA in Washington, their studios in Virginia, to put the event together. That's where they would tape the program. The program was taped at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for showing 6, 7 o'clock that night all over PBS. Late in the morning, an item came over one of the teletypes that there was a congressional hearing where one of the congresspeople exploded over the announcement of the deal. Said basically, this deal won't work. It is a sham. It is a deal that will throw back the relationship of the nation, the U.S. to Middle Eastern countries all over the place. I got that quote, noted it, gave it to one of the producers. And the producers gave it to Jim. See what happens. Later on the day, Dan Warner, the executive producer who was at PBS to see the taping of the Vance interview, came back at me and said, Simon, Jim used your quote. My jaw dropped. I could not believe it. So when time was done, had my work completed, went right back to American University, got into the main dorm room of the television set, made sure that it was turned on to ETA, and saw the show at 7:30. The show started with the great theme music by Bernard Hopper, that wonderful fanfare, that with funky tune. Robin introduced the segment, introduced Vance, asked the first question, why was this deal put together, and so on and so forth. And then it turned to Jim, and Jim basically said, well, you know, Mr. Secretary, I'm sort of paraphrasing here, there was a congressional hearing this morning, and here's what this person had to say about the deal. He said, And he read the quote exactly, and he looked up. And in 1 second, Cyrus Vance, who was pretty sanguine at the start of the interview, turned red. The camera did not lie. And he was angry. Like, no, I can't believe that. You know, no, that's not the case. Not true. This deal is good. Really. You've never seen somebody change their mood in a nanosecond like Cyrus Vance did that afternoon. And trust me, he was angry. Not at Jim, but at whoever made that statement in Congress that morning. And at that moment, watching that in my dorm room, with other people tuning in, what I got present to was, boy, that's what makes journalism work. I want to have a career in journalism. I will always thank Jim Blair for using that quote that day, because it really propelled me to take on journalism as a career, whether covering the news of the day or covering the world of television as I am now. And I will always thank Jim Blair for that. And the thing about Jim was, he let the quote speak for itself. He didn't even say, like, what do you think? He just looked up after he read the quote. And that's the kind of person Jim was. Jim was the kind of person who was so curious about anything. And oftentimes, he would ask on the air, like, how does this work? How do you do this? What's involved in the making of this invention or this issue? He asked the simple questions that could pull out the greatest deal to a guest or to a subject. And like I said earlier with Elliot and Elizabeth, Jim was a collaborator in every sense of the word. He always wanted us to do complete work. He always wanted us to go after the extra side of the story. Don't leave the stone unturned. He held us to great standards. And be objective. Be fair. And he wrote fairly too. And by the way, Jim was a marvelous writer. He could write on anything. And he could be very twinkly, very fun. I had a chance in my internship to read some of his scripts for the McNeil Air Report. And one script in particular I really enjoyed. It was great. It was about Radio City Music Hall, which at the time had just come back from having very tough times. And Jim started off the program, which he anchored, from Washington this way. Good evening. Last week I took my family to see this presentation at Radio City Music Hall, and a good time was had by all. And he got right into the story. It engaged you. That was the thing about Jim's writing. He really engaged the viewer without dumbing down, without, you know, talking low or high to anybody. He spoke in plain English. And he was fun, and he spoke in fun English, too. And one of the things about Jim was that if you worked on the McNeil Air Report, it wasn't a turnover deal. It was like your role for life. And people on McNeil Air Report will tell you that they stayed on that program for years. Read the credit list. A lot of the people who worked when I did the internship with McNeil Air Report worked with Robin and Jim on the McNeil Air News Hour. Some of them moved up from reporter to producer, some from producer to senior producers. They did because they loved the environment. It was the best environment to work with the best people. Robin and Jim were a magnificent pair, the best. Yin-yang personified. And Jim also was not only a great writer in terms of nightly news, he was also a great writer as a novelist. Published a lot of novels, some of which I think should become television series or television miniseries. By the way, his wife, Kate, was also a great novelist, too. And that was the thing about Jim, was that he played ball with people, and people played ball with him. It was a team sport. And I will always, always, always thank Jim and Robin and Charlene Undergall and everybody involved, Dan Werner, the producer, Ned Miller, everybody involved. So Quinlan, everybody involved in that program for just a great internship, but more importantly, really setting me on a path to be the best journalist I can be, no matter what I covered. Jim was the best. I had the chance a few moments ago to see the PBS NewsHour tribute that went on last night, and the closing tribute, which involved Robin, as well as Sharon Percy Rockefeller, the president of WETA, and a former Supreme Court justice who was a lifelong friend of Jim. And they all said basically the same thing. Jim was just so great to be with and so involved with news. And he worked hard. And he also really invited people to be in. And he never made himself the star. Not even the president. He never made himself the star. The news, the story, the development, the audience was the star. Never him. And that's what made Jim Lehrer the exceptional journalist he was throughout his life. And he also knew when to turn things over to other people. And he did so beautifully. I still remember that final episode of the NewsHour where he did the anchor for the final time. It was one of the most graceful passings of the baton you will ever see on television. I want to give condolences to Jim's family, Katie's wife, his kids, as well as all the people who worked on PBS NewsHour and the McNeil Air Report and the McNeil Air NewsHour and the NewsHour who are still with us. And I'm happy that Robin is still with us, too, because he was a lifelong friend to Jim. And like he said yesterday, instant partnership, instant friendship. And it just had a sink through their lives that just made it work for so many decades. I think the best way that Jim Lehrer can be honored is to just all practice better journalism. That we hold ourselves going forward to the standards, to the ideals, to the respect that he had. Somebody on yesterday's PBS show said it great, which was that Jim had respect for the art. He had respect for the institutions of government. He also had respect for the abilities of people. He was a class act all the way, right up to the end. Jim, I'll miss you. We all will. We'll miss your journalism. We'll miss your documentaries. And most of all, we'll miss your heart and soul. Because you were one very, very special journalist and one very special person. So rest in peace. And wherever you are up there, keep practicing being the great person you are and were. Jim Lehrer passed away yesterday at the age of 85. He leaves behind his wife, his family, and he leaves behind a great journalism legacy that all of us can still practice starting now. In our remaining minutes, I'd love to hear from you. If you have any thoughts about Jim, we'd love to hear them. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And while we wait, let's do our classic trivia question of the week. We posted for the first time on Monday. Still don't have a winner, but let's give it a try. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the book by the author of the popular U.S. Network series, Night Flight, now a 24/7 smart TV service, Stuart Shapiro. The book's called Identify Yourself, A Journey in Creative Courage. And here's the question. What Western television series from the 1950s was based on reports from an Arizona newspaper? Speaking of journalism. What 1950s Western television series was based on reports from an Arizona newspaper? And if you can name the Arizona newspaper, you'll also win the book Gentleman Jack, The Real Ann Lister by Ann Trevor, inspired by the HBO original series that got critical acclaim last summer, coming back later this year. With a foreword by Sally Rainwright, the creator, producer, and director who was on our show last year when the series was on. So once again, the question, what Western television series 1950s was based on reports from an Arizona newspaper? And, if you can, name the newspaper. If you know the answer or both answers, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you first get the correct answer, you will win one or both books. And if you missed the question a moment ago, we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so. And all the very best. All right, let's see if we have any comments or feedback on Jim Lehrer. I'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. As I mentioned earlier, we have two wonderful episodes to wrap up January on next week, Monday and Friday at this very hour, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Coming up on Monday, a guest we have had on before, but not in a very long time. He was one of the key people that made Law & Order happen on NBC for two decades. He won an Emmy Award, a Peabody Award, and many other awards for his work on that series. He also was the developer of Law & Order Criminal Intent for 10 years on NBC and USA. And now he's the executive producer of the new hit series on CBS, FBI Most Wanted, Tuesday at 10 o'clock. The one and only Renee Bolsaire will be joining us as our lead guest. And then in the second half hour, we'll have the co-creators and executive producers of a fascinating, new, unusual experiment in storytelling coming to CBS All Access next month. It's called Interrogation. It's about a crime and the police interrogating various suspects in that crime. And here's the thing. The show's arranged in such a way that you can run it for you in any order you want, as long as you catch the last episode when it happens. We will have executive producers Andrew Wiedemann and John Mankiewicz be with us. Andrew, by the way, comes from Sweden, and we'll have them both live in a nice cross-world connection. That's coming up on Monday's episode. And then, on Friday, we have a big two-hour blockbuster for you. First up, the former Oklahoma congressman and possible vice presidential candidate, who is now co-chairman and chairman and co-creator of Black News Channel, the 24/7 service for African Americans, for all of us, that premieres on February 10th on cable systems, on smart TV sets, and smart devices. The one and only J.C. Watts, former Oklahoma congressman and famous football player as well, in college, he will be with us live as our lead guest. And if you enjoyed Awkwafina is Nora from Queens on Wednesday night on Comedy Central, we have a great treat for you. The co-creator and executive producer of that program, Teresa Zhao, will be with us in the second half hour. She's getting rave reviews for the show, which had a great response on Comedy Central Wednesday night, and it's already been renewed for a second season. And then in our second hour, we'll kick it off with Craig Miller, the vice presidential pony at INSP, the folks behind such shows as The Cowboy Way. It's a network that for a lot of critics is under the radar screen, but for viewers, it's getting more and more on their radar screen, and Craig will tell us what's heading coming up for original shows on that network in the year ahead. And finally, we just confirmed this today, we'll have the creator, executive producer, and writer of the new Charter Spectrum series, Manhunt, Deadly Games, premiering next month as Video On Demand on Charter cable systems all over the country, Andrew Sarofsky. So be sure to join us next Friday for a big two-hour blockbuster of a Smarty Televised to wrap up your January 2020. Again, that's next Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, near Pacific. Get your questions and comments ready. I watch. We're going to be hearing a lot from our chat room and from you callers out there. So be sure to be with us. It's going to be really, really amazing. Incidentally, in our first episode, or first half of our show today, about the Ted Kaczynski special, the Lost Kaczynski tapes, we should tell you that Manhunt was originally a franchise started by Lionsgate and Discovery Channel several years ago, and we had John Goldwyn, the executive producer of the series, which dealt with the Unabomber, on our program. If you want to catch that episode, you can go to our homepage anytime, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check it out as well at iTunes, Apple TV as well. So be sure to check that out if you can. I think you'll really enjoy it. And Goldwyn, by the way, is also an executive producer of this new Manhunt franchise, Deadly Games, dealing with Richard Jewell and the Atlanta Olympics bombing back in 1996. One thing I want to point out, too, before we leave you and wrap things up, is that if you want to see the PBS NewsHour tribute yesterday to Jim Lehrer, here's where you go online, www.pbs.org/newshour/video. It's www.pbs.org/newshour/video. I think you'll find the discussion with Rob McNeil and Sharon Pussy Rockefeller. Judy Woodruff moderated it, who's the current anchor of PBS NewsHour. Very, very moving. And it'll really give you great insight into the kind of person that Jim Lehrer was throughout his career at PBS and throughout his career in life. That's www.pbs.org/newshour/video. And, of course, you can also check out the entire episode at pbs.org/newshour. All right, so we are going to wrap things up for the day. Again, thank you to both of our guests for being with us. That's Elliot Halpern and Elizabeth Chochin from the Lost Unabomber Tapes. Remember, that program premieres Sunday and Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific on Reels channel. Again, go online to www.reels.com. Once again, Monday on To Bobby Cole Live, big hour for you. Renee Belfair, executive producer of CBS's new hit, FBI Most Wanted. It's on Tuesday night at 10. He's on the first half of the hour. On the second half of the hour, live from the U.S. and Sweden, Andrew Wiedemann and John Mankiewicz, the co-creative executive producer of the new CBS All Access series, Interrogation. And 1 week from today, our big tour blockbuster to wrap the month up, Black News Channel Chairman J.C. Watts. Aquafina is Northern Queens co-creator executive Teresa Zhao, INSP vice president performing Craig Miller, and Manhunt Deadly Games creator executive producer and writer Andrew Sarofsky. That's all coming up 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, Monday and Friday, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in on today's program late, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, 24/7 this weekend, check out the podcast version of the show. Check out all our episodes this month and all last year and earlier than that. It's available at, available, as they said, at iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network at iHeartRadio.com. Remember, when you go to iHeartRadio, make sure that you put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click your, and you get our episodes right then and there. Or you can just go to Categories, click Entertainment, you get our episode there as well. Remember, we always love hearing from you. What's your thoughts about our today's episode? What's your reminiscences of Jim Lehrer and your thoughts about him and his great work? We'd love to hear from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. And also, we have a feature called The Show to Know. Is there a program that you like that doesn't get enough attention? Well, we'll give it the attention, but you got to let us know. And when you do, we get the credit. You get the credit for it. So check it out. BlogTalkRadio.com/televised, and remember, you can check us out at SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's how you get involved in our show to know, and again, our classic trivia question of the week. Remember, I'm also available on social media. I do tweets on Twitter and Facebook all the time. So check us out at Facebook.com, Simon Apple down on the homepage, and check me out at Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT, at UBCSimonTWBT. Thank you, by the way, to all the Twitter folks that joined us on our feed, over 225 followers. And remember, we love hearing from you, and we respond because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate BTR is Candace Williams, NH Host Blog Talk Radio's general manager, Jay Sonberg, executive content producer, and the co-founders, Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Talk is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. Pay $50 on a one-year run. First of all, get a one-month trial subscription, three audiobooks for that. Go to audibletrial.com/televised. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful weekend ahead. We're back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to this weekend, please make it safe and make it great. Until next time, stay well. And stay tuned. And as Jim Leonard would say, thank you and good night.